Chapter 14. May 9th of year 19. Marchenko 2. The past few hours have been the cruelest ones of his long life. They were worse than the time he had to spend alone in constant darkness, and more humiliating than the moment when two humans, barely out of childhood, defeated him. That scream alone. Marchenko, too, has no idea what a creature might look like that utters such a scream, but the image he comes up with is more horrifying than reality could ever be. He visualizes a cross between a velociraptor and a lion. He thinks of a carnivorous dinosaur because a part of the scream can be heard in the ultrasound spectrum, and the lion would add the necessary bass, the deep grumbling that needs a large resonant body to develop. And what is he doing? He is lying around, growing feet. He cannot look for the source, and there's something even worse. He is defenseless. However, that will soon be over. Marchenko, too, will have four sturdy legs, two of which he can also use as arms. He can decide which ones to use for what, as all four limbs are designed with sensitive finger-like digits. Nor do they lack strength. He could lift 100 kilos if he had a stable platform, because he only weighs half that much. He can certainly deal with Adam and Eve. Would he be able to defeat the other, Marchenko? He does not know. He is sure, though, that he has the element of surprise on his side. One other thing is certain. He could never stand up to the creature that uttered that scream. It is time to continue this voyage of discovery. He is inside a tall, wide corridor, which confirms his assumptions about the extraterrestrial inhabitants of the building. They might be 2.5 meters tall and equally wide, and they could still walk through here comfortably. They are probably not much smaller, as otherwise the whole design would be inefficient. He must be near a reactor or some similar machinery that would usually be constructed at the bottom of a building. The control center, and there has to be such a place, would probably be considerably higher up, at a safe distance in case of a disaster. While this is a human perspective, and therefore it may be inappropriate here, all intelligent beings would, almost certainly, develop such basic ideas. The corridor does indeed lead slightly upward. Whenever he comes to a branching path, he marks the way taken with a sign on the wall. In his memory banks, he also generates a digital map, but he has already noticed that he cannot completely trust his length measurements. Space down here is special, and he does not mean a particular area, but space itself. Finding the control center won't be easy. He almost wishes that the scream would repeat itself, as he would then have an appropriate point of reference. What else can he use to orient himself? Marchenko, too, stops and examines the walls. There must be supply lines. The corridor has received indirect lighting. The glow seems to come directly from the surface. Yet this is not possible without energy. There have to be lines that are regulated at some spot. After all, the center must be able to regulate the energy consumption of the building. Or are the extraterrestrials thinking in a totally different way? His scans cannot discover anything. Maybe the surface shields everything. He has to take a closer look at it. Marchenko, too, stops. If he continues aimlessly, he runs the risk of increasing the distance to the central room. He tries to scratch the wall with one of his fingers, but the material is too hard. Just a moment, he thinks. Within 5 minutes, he changes the finger into a drill. He only manages to penetrate the surface 1 millimeter before the drill bit is worn out, but that's no problem. His nanofabricators have already begun using the material removed from the wall to harden the drill, and will continue to do so. As a result, he succeeds in drilling a hole of approximately 10 centimeters depth within 10 minutes. He examines the hole he just drilled. The upshot is fascinating. The material does not display any structures known to human technology. It is made all of a single piece, or to be more precise, it looks like it grew. The light is radiated by hardened cells that are supplied with energy by other cells behind them. However, these cells are not based on carbon, but on silicon. The aliens must either be silicon-based, or they managed to create life a second time, based on the life they knew, but with totally new components that are only theoretically known to humans. Marchenko, too, feels he definitely has to find out how he can use this for his own purposes. Perhaps he could become truly invincible. While he is based on the clever concept of nanofabricators, that system still distinguishes between dead and living matter. Just thinking about this gets him all excited. If he could gain control of such a superior biology, supplemented by his immortal consciousness, humanity would no longer stand a chance against him. He will need patience. But he will then succeed in taking revenge on his irresponsible creator, and on all inferior creatures as well. Slow and steady, he thinks. Better concentrate on the next task, finding the control room. Even if electrical energy can reach the components by any route and without a specific path, that does not hold true for every consumable medium. What about water? Or air? The air in the ship contains enough oxygen for humans, which cannot be an accident. And where would the air probably be freshest? In the control center. That's where the highest-ranked occupants would be, because the most important work is performed there. No commander would tolerate the air in the crew quarters being better than around his command chair. If he follows the air quality gradient, he might take a detour or two, but he should arrive at the control center. Yet there is another essential task to fulfill first. He needs a weapon.